Hello and welcome to the CEO Blind Spot Show, where leaders lead leaders. I'm your host, Birgit Camps, and today's guest is Adi Levanon, who is the founder of Sela Ventures, a VC fund investing in category-leading fintech startups. Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm super excited.
Yeah, well, I'm so glad that Tanya connected us when I was
She's the
asking
best.
her, who do you know that's a great leader and is humble and has been through things, so is willing to contribute to others? And so you connected us. And I can see why, right? Because prior to founding your VC firm, you were a leader in $2 billion companies, and you've been a mentor to many, many other leaders. But then I looked at your background in education. I'm like, oh my gosh, and you have a law degree, you have an MBA. And what would
Thank
you
you.
say are one or two reasons you've succeeded in different areas, including living in many different places and making it there as a leader?
I think honestly, that's a big part of it. Living in different places and kind of growing up in a household where change is accepted and it's okay. And I think it really helps. I had no choice but to kind of figure things out and adapt to change. And I think that's a really big part of being a successful leader. And I think also just, I've always been really authentic. I'm a very big person, like with empathy. It's a big part of who I am. As empathetic as I am, I also try to be very direct and clear and really bring my authenticity in how I work with other people. And I think that's, something that people connect with, and it helps me build just long-lasting relationships that way. And I think that when you incorporate authenticity in everything you do always, people appreciate it and remember you for that. And I think it goes a long way.
Well, it sounds to me like you just naturally figured this out very early on, but were you mentored by anybody, or how did you know about this?
That's a really good question. I've actually always been hungry for mentors my whole life. I mean, there's obviously some fantastic people that I've met along my career that were, impactful, whether it was, bosses that I had or colleagues, obviously, and friends, and whether they were male or female. But I really haven't had like a specific mentor. I think I learned it through kind of trial and error in a way. So, when I kind of lost that path and I wasn't being authentic at some point because I thought I had to act a certain way or be a certain way, I realized that I was actually less successful. When I stick to myself, whether that means honestly just being like feminine and bringing that empathy, like I said before, but also being incredibly like, you can't really be successful also without, being very disciplined and to the point and having a very execution-driven mindset. But the combination of the two, like if I put one forward and not the other, if I didn't combine the two, I wasn't being authentic to myself. And so I realized that when it wasn't a part of my day-to-day, I wasn't doing as well. And so when I took a step back and realized that was the case, and this was like, years ago when I worked for one of those companies that you mentioned, one of the two companies that ended up becoming a $1 billion company back in the day, I just realized that I wanted to stay authentic to myself. And that's why I got promoted. And that's why I manage people because of that. So
So
help me connect
I'm
to it.
curious though, you got your law degree, and if my research is correct, you have two parents that are entrepreneurs as well. So tell me a little bit about how you chose to be a lawyer first. And it sounds like maybe you had natural mentors just by the mere fact of maybe seeing what your parents did that worked or didn't work, or what would you say?
For sure. No, it's a big part of it. Well, my mom also studied law. I was born in Houston, Texas, but I grew up actually in Palo Alto. And as a kid growing up, like you said, my father was always in high tech. That's kind of what I've known from day one. But my mom actually studied law as well. So I got kind of exposed to it that way. But, after I finished, I did my army service while living in Israel. And after finishing the army, I realized that I just wanted to start studying. I think as an American born, living in Israel, I knew that most people don't rush to study right after the army, but I really wanted to because I realized I had that 2 year, difference from the Americans who immediately did their underground earlier on. So I went straight to studying, and law just was, it felt like something that I don't know that I would connect to. I gave it a shot, and really early on, I realized there was something so compelling about being able to look at a large amount of data and being able to differentiate between like, subject matter over form, like what's most crucial out of everything you're reading and how to differentiate the two. And obviously in time, we got into contracts and corporate law, and I just honestly, I fell in love with it. I think it's such a wonderful tool to have.
Well, then I do have to ask, right? You just sound like you figure everything out along the way. So did you ever struggle as a leader?
Oh my gosh, of course. Like hearing you say that, I'm like, oh, if you knew. Of course I have. And I mean, I don't think you can be a leader or even be successful without the struggle, right? Like, I mean, it's cliche, but it's so true. I definitely have had struggles. I mean, look, now in this current phase of my life, I'm a solo general partner of a first-time fund, what's called like I'm an emerging manager, and I'm doing it alone as a woman, which I don't like putting that card forward, but it is definitely something that raises, I believe, more challenges. For example, when I was out fundraising and I've had many people that I met ask me, what does your husband do? These were like, I really heard this many, many times. And, you know, I don't think that's a question that anybody has ever asked a male general partner, whether solo or not, what their wife does. So what's important though, is that kind of, I think what helped me overcome this, that type of struggle was really the mindset. Really, instead of getting upset and, you know, getting offended or being angry, I decided that they probably think I'm just so awesome that they're like, wow, who is this amazing man? Who's, you know, your partner behind, you know, to your side? You know what I mean? Like, I just decided that I was going to change my mindset. And so when that type of struggle, you know, came up, which is definitely annoying, but I just decided that it's a mindset, you know, like I read somewhere that you should choose your thoughts like you choose the clothes you wear in, you know, in the morning, right? Like you choose how you want your day to look like and how you want to interact with certain situations. So yeah, those struggles definitely come up, but I think the mindset and how you choose to react is such a big, big part of success.
Yeah. So it sounds like that has helped you make it then also through various crises.
Yeah, mine. And also, you know, women that I've met along the way, you know, like I've met women that had such a hard time getting into roles and positions and succeeding. And I remember I just always had to tell them, like, you need to figure out how to sell yourself better, bring that kind of different mindset, right?
Yeah.
So many women I met were like, oh, I didn't do everything in the role. I didn't sell this. I didn't actually do that. But when we talked about the position, I'm like, well, okay, but did you actually bring more money to the company? Yes. Did you actually bring more customers? Yes. And so the more we talked about what they were actually bringing to the table, they started realizing just how successful they were. And so in many ways, like the mindset, I think for many women, whether they're in companies or startups or even in ventures, they sometimes minimize their potential or actually what they've actually done.
Yeah.
And so I think changing the mindset to being, wait a second, not what I didn't do, but what have I done, in many ways helps, I think, bridge a lot of those gaps as women try to scale. And I've been really fortunate to work with a lot of women that, to be honest, ended up getting, you know, getting to the roles they wanted because of that shift in mindset. So I'm excited about that and to help them overcome this crisis as well.
And it's valuable what you're saying for everybody, right? Because when anyone goes through crisis, they do tend to look at everything that they did wrong or should have seen or could have seen.
Exactly.
And rather than you know, what can be done and what they did do right. You've been in various different leadership positions. How about, did you ever have a blind spot in terms of leading groups of people?
I have to say that when I was a manager, I was not a very good manager. I think I made a lot of mistakes in the past. I was very young. I think the company I worked for, I was the youngest manager back then. And I think I didn't really understand what management means. I thought that I needed to be in the front. I didn't understand that actually being a good manager and a good leader is helping the people that work with you come forward and helping them, you know, succeed in what they're doing. So that was a lesson I had to learn. And it was definitely challenging to kind of apropos mindset to realize that that's not what I needed to do as a manager.
What was the aha moment there? How did you realize that? Did someone tell you that? Or how did you?
Yes, honestly, one of the things that I give to the credit of the, you know, the startup that I work for is they brought like a management course for a lot of us. And all of a sudden I realized that. And a lot of, you know, conversations that I had back then with other VPs at the company or C-suites, kind of just kind of figuring out what I should have done differently. It was really, really helpful. But also I really also learned more about that in retrospect, you know, like managing teams, especially when there's people that you know before and your friends, is really challenging. So becoming a leader is by example, you know, being able to show that you can make decisions, I think, and execute, but also that, like I said before, you're empathetic to them as your team, and that you see them and you hear them and you let them be in the front as well. I know that today, like even with my portfolio companies, the best CEOs hire the best people. The best CEOs promote the best people. So it was something over time, to be honest. It wasn't like an aha moment specifically.
Yeah.
But I'm glad that I realized that, you know, sooner than later.
And that probably, like you said, is now helping you know who a good leader is and who to invest in. Because you know what to look for.
No, for sure. I mean, I think, you know, we go through, like you said, crisis or these blind spots or like, you know, the name of the podcast, right? Like these moments. I mean, I've had so many of those through my career in different places. And so I think it's so important to have that support circle, to have people around that you can ask for help, whether it's VPs at the company you're in or whether it's family or whoever it may be, but to make sure that when that moment comes that you were caught off guard, to make sure that you reach out and be like, okay, I'm struggling. Something isn't working. Help me out. I think that's really, really, really key. And, you know, I moved to New York when I had really nothing. Like, I mean, I had my American passport, great, which is a big thing for anybody who's, you know, who's moving from abroad. I moved from Israel to New York back then, but I really knew like two people. And even though I was very disciplined and I tried to get a job before I moved to New York, I ended up finding, you know, getting a job really quickly, honestly, but it was the wrong job. And I realized over time that you can start something and it may not work out. It's always for the best. But the only way you can overcome that situation, which really puts you down, you're like, what do I do? How do I manage? And for me, what I realized is that one, like I said, you need to reach out to that support circle, but you really need to find a way to kind of regroup quickly. You know, like I took a step back, I looked at what I wanted to do and what I was best at, and I reached out to people again that I reached out before I moved to New York, and I said, hey, things didn't work out. I'm going in a different direction. And I asked for help, you know, and I didn't let my insecurities get in the way or how it may seem, you know, because I think maybe to your earlier question, you know, I came from a house and parents that were entrepreneurs. So, you know, taking risks was always part of how I envisioned, you know, life. And not that everything needs to be risky, that you know, dare to ask and don't take no personally was something I always heard at home. So
Wow, that's a
I kept that in
good
mind.
tip. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I love what you said also about having a circle to go to. I know Laura, who's one of the leaders at a huge company, there's a statement about you that she made, which is that you get your hands dirty with people and challenge them to create better processes, and that you introduce people to your network. And
Right.
so I'm sure that whoever you decide to invest in, that's going to be a huge plus that you bring to the table because you know the value of that. And apparently you give that to other leaders that you partner with.
Thank you. No, thank you for saying that. I think you were referring to Laura Speakerman from Allied.
Yes, exactly.
She's wonderful. No, and really, I mean, apropos leader, her and the whole team at Alloy are just phenomenal. And she's such a trailblazer. She's amazing. And I'm so grateful for them and for just for saying that. I mean, I love that, you know, even that you mentioned, like, 'cause I really try to bring that. It's been a decade since I started investing, and I met Tommy and Laura, for example, in Alloy in 2016. They were in the pre-seed, and I think that I maintain that same ethic and authenticity even today. So it's great that you said that. I appreciate it.
Well, I appreciate you know, taking the time to contribute to other leaders through my podcast today. And I know if they want to know more about you, they can go to LinkedIn. Is there anything in particular that you want them to do if they reach out to you?
I read every message. I do my best. It might take me a while, but just to mention how I can be helpful, what they're looking for, I put my email also on, you know, LinkedIn. I'm happy to people to do cold emails. So yeah, I'm happy to connect.
Well, and actually, you even put this in LinkedIn, right? You even tell people, feel free to reach out to me, but let me know why you're reaching out and how I can be helpful. So thank you again for
Exactly.
being helpful today.
Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it.